1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. You'll start seeing a word over and over and over again. You see it first in verse 9. It says, God's building. You see in verse 10, he says, another buildeth. And it says, take heed how he buildeth. Then in verse 12, it says, if any man build. And in verse 13, every man's work. And he talks about work in verse 13 and 14 and 15 in this context of building. And he's looking at the Corinthians. Have you read 1 Corinthians lately? Every time I read 1 Corinthians, the way I hear 1 Corinthians, I think, oh, no, not the Corinthians. Oh, no. Because I preached through this book one time on Wednesday nights in Maryland, and every single chapter is another problem, another problem, another problem, another problem. If there was ever a church that had problems, it was Corinth. And you got to understand, Corinth was a beautiful place. It was a wealthy place. They have a market there that would outdo any shopping center in the country. They had a beautiful, beautiful harbor on one end and another end, and ships going back and forth between the two. It was a big place. I've been there. The view is gorgeous. They had there's a big hill off to one side that if they got attacked, they could all run up there and be safe. They had a temple to Apollo or Diana? I forget now. Apollo, I think. It was on top of the hill. From anywhere in town, you look up, you can see the temple of Apollo. And Corinth was known for its wickedness. I'm not talking about the Christians here. I'm talking about the city. In fact, to be wicked in the Roman Empire, it was to be Corinthian. And there's on the top of the pillars that they build things with, at the top there's this thing called a capital. It's just the decorations on the top. And the most beautiful, most ornate capital was called a Corinthian capital because Corinth was known to be a wealthy, beautiful place. So imagine pastoring a church there where there's wickedness everywhere, lots of temptation, lots of wealth, lots of worldly wisdom. Well, it's kind of like today, isn't it? Kind of like our nation, I think, in many ways. And so did God give up on them? Did God tell them, this church is hopeless, leave it and go somewhere else? No. No, folks, God doesn't give up. Paul wrote the whole book of 1 Corinthians saying, fix this, 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 chapter after chapter after chapter. Don't give up. Sometimes we look at the decisions that people make and at the world and the politics and the government and all the immorality, and you just think there's no hope. No, there is hope. Amen? Now, I just want to show you one thing tonight, and it has to do with the test of our life's work. The test of our life's work. Because you see, that's what he's talking about. Let me read you the passage, and you'll see more, I think, and then we'll just try to make some sense of this if we could. Beginning in 1 Corinthians 3:8, you can remain seated if you like. He says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Now watch this. And every man, he uses that phrase three times, verse 13 and 14, four times in verse 15 also. Every man, or any man, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Oh, I got to stop. There's a man right there. Carlos is a man. He's going to receive the reward according to his labor. And so is he, 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 and so am I. And so are you. We understand that, don't we? Okay, he says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And then he says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let, here we go with that phrase again, every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, please open our eyes and let us see just a few things here that would strengthen us, that would determine in our lives that we would walk closer to you, that we'd walk away from sin, and that we would make those choices to build the right things upon the foundation. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. In Maryland, we moved into the parsonage in July of 2002, and we were excited. It was my first time to be a senior pastor, and the church needed a lot of work, but the parsonage we moved into was in the corner behind the church, and it was not a bad place to live. It was a split-level house, and one of the things I was excited about was my children were school-aged. I think the youngest was third grade. Yep, third grade. And so that's, what, 9 years old? And so I had a 9-year-old, an 11-year-old, and then two more. And in the front yard, there were these three trees that kind of had a shape like a triangle, and there was a treehouse. And it was a big treehouse. It was made out of 2x6s, and this thing was probably, I want to say, 10 feet by 10 feet. It was like, oh, I'd say 80 or 90 square feet treehouse, huge treehouse. And I noticed when I looked at it, I said, well, there's a couple of boards up there that are kind of weak looking. And then the steps to get up to it were in bad shape. And one of them was broken. And I didn't want my children to hurt themselves. And so I went down to the lumber yard and I bought some lumber. And I got some of those nails that won't back out. They got the twist in them. And I fixed that thing up. I fixed the steps on it. And I fixed the boards up on the top. And our sons had a ball in that treehouse. And I didn't know something, though. As time went on, the treehouse was great, but the trees died. And then when the trees die in Maryland, they rot. And when they get rotten enough, you can walk up to a rotten tree and just push it over. And one of the last things we had to do before we moved away from Maryland, I remember, was to dismantle that thing, because we had to have one of the trees cut down and hauled off, and the treehouse was shot. Now, all that work I put into that treehouse was for naught. You know, we got a little bit out of it, but in the end, the whole thing was a waste because it had a lousy foundation. Now, I want you to understand something, and you know this. This is easy. You can't lose your salvation. The foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not fragile, is not going to rot or die or fade away. There is a good foundation. But look at the times he says and what he says here. He says, if any man build in verse 12, every man's work in verse 13, every man's work again in verse 13, any man's work in verse 14, any man's work in verse 15. And he's talking about what we do, what we build after we're saved. Now, once again, you cannot lose your salvation. I do understand that there are some people that may have claimed to trust Christ and they really didn't understand or they really didn't do it, and it's difficult for us to know. And the Bible says their fruit, by their fruit you shall know them. But I know that there are some people, no doubt about it, because the Corinthians are listed here. He says that there are some of these folks in verse 15 that are going to be saved, but they're going to suffer loss. They're going to suffer loss. Now, let's just dig into this. We've only got about 15 minutes, but I think it's plenty of time. What is the test? What's God looking for? How is it that God's going to judge when we step into eternity? And folks, again, he's going to judge each of us individually. I've been studying for Sunday school, and I was looking today, and I was looking at some of the men in the Old Testament, like Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was translated. The Bible says he was not. God took him. I think Enoch had a good judgment. Then you got some other folks that we looked at, like we talked about Cain last week. Not a good judgment. How's God going to make those decisions? What's he looking for? I'll be quick. Three things. There are exact methods, okay? In other words, look at verse 10, what he says. He says, let every man take heed how. That's the word I'm looking at. How he buildeth thereupon. How? Well, let's just stop and think about one thing for a minute. Are you building anything? Well, you're here tonight, so you are, aren't you? You came out tonight. There, you made a decision tonight. And folks, it shocks me, but God lets us make decisions, good or bad. You can decide. I'm going to go to church. I'm not going to go to church. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to pray. I'm going to obey God. I'm not going to obey God. I'm going to steal. I'm not going to steal, or whatever. You know, you make decisions all the time. You have decisions. God gives them to you. He opens doors for you, doesn't he? How are you building? I can't give you that course in 2 minutes or less, but I can tell you one thing. The Bible can teach us how to build. Amen? And the Bible can teach us some things. I'm thinking, for example, in John, where Jesus said this. He said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Are you building with, through, by the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you trying to do it on your own? If you're not praying, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not seeking God's will and God's strength every day, then you're not going to produce anything. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Now, you can do something. You can't deny that, because the Bible is very clear. Jesus says that you can abide and you can have much fruit. How is a good question, but there's a second question that's a little bit better. What are you building with? Look at verse 12. He says, if any man build upon this foundation, and look what he uses here as examples, gold, silver, and precious stones, and then he lists wood, hay, and stubble. And you can see something. Gold, silver, and precious stones don't burn. Wood, hay, and stubble do. And don't miss it. Let's just make sure we're real clear here. He goes on, he says this. He says in verse 13, it shall be revealed by fire. Fire shall try every man's work. In verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned. If you knew that there was a fire coming, would you build with wood and hay and stubble? No. We were in Israel. And we got to looking around, and we were with this tour guide, and we were asking him all sorts of questions, and we were driving down the road, and I said, you know, I've noticed something in Israel. Everyone's house is built out of rock. You don't see wood houses over here. There are no wood-framed houses anywhere. I don't understand. What's the deal? He said, well, you can build a house if you want, but nobody would buy it. It's just not going to last. Folks, think with me. Is your life, are you building something that's going to last? I'm not talking about 10 or 20 or 30 years. I'm talking about eternity. Amen? I got good news for you. You can. Can't you? You can build some things that'll last. It's going to require some decisions, some things you're going to have to choose to do and not to do, because the things you use in your life, the things you seek in your life, the things you allow in your life, that's what you're building with. Gold and silver and precious stones all have value. Now, let me just make this real simple. Are you using and doing the things in your life that God finds valuable or that God finds of no value? Amen? You can make the list. You could make two sides, value, no value, and start making the list of things God finds valuable. You know, prayer, easy things, prayer, Bible reading, faithfulness to church, serving God, soul winning, scripture memory, encouraging the brothers and sisters in the Lord, and being faithful to church. And, you know, you can make a really long list of these are the things God finds valuable. There's some things God doesn't find valuable. Things in the world, things that are going to be judged and destroyed. Which of those are you building with? Amen? Now, by the way, what got me going on all this, and the reason I kind of got excited about this, is it grieves me, it breaks my heart, but I see people choosing things of no value. I see people choosing things that are going to be destroyed in judgment, and they're not going to result in anything in eternity. No reward. And oh, by the way, usually they come with a terrible price tag in this world as well. But what are you building with? Are you building with things that are valuable or things that are not valuable? Are you building with things? Look at verse 13. He says, what sort is it in the end of that verse, verse 13? Does it burn? Possessions burn. Born-again Christians don't. The test is, what remains? What is going to remain? Riches in heaven? Faith tried by fire, 1 Peter 1:7. The test is of what sort you're building with. Okay, one more thing and I'll finish up. I'm just about out of time. The test is going to be for our methods, for our materials, and it's going to have an eternal measure, and then it's for every man. And let me just show you that in verse 13, 14, and 15, and we'll be done. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest. He says in verse 13, every man's work of what sort it is. Any man's work abide. Any man's work shall be burned. It's very easy for us to look at other people and see the mistakes they're making in their life, but you look in the wrong direction. The question is, first of all, what about me? Amen? I'm not the best driver, okay? When we go to the men's retreat, Mr. Mendez knows this. I took his car to Mexico and almost destroyed it with him in it. And because I get to talk and I stop paying attention. And we were driving down the road in Mexico, just outside of a city, a village called Alamos. And we're driving down the road going about 50, 55 miles an hour maybe, and that doesn't sound too bad. But in Mexico, they have these things called topes. And when I see that word on the sign, I just think, topes, what in the world is that? What it is the most horrible speed bump you ever saw in your life. It's about 3 feet high, I think. I don't know. No. They're about a foot high, and there's not much of a slope to it. And I'm still embarrassed by this. We were driving down the road at night in his car. I'm driving. Probably the last time they ever let me drive. And all of a sudden, topes. Oh, yeah, we're boom. And I don't know if the car left the ground or not, but I did. And I'm sure everybody in the car thought, don't ever let Pastor Schaefer drive again. Can we pull over? This is not good. You know, I can drive down the road and I can see all the mistakes other drivers make. And, look at you. What's wrong with you? You didn't use your turn signal. You did this and you did that. It's easy to see other people's mistakes, but we don't like to look at our own, do we? So here's what I'm going to caution you at. The Bible makes it very clear. Jesus used this illustration. He says, before you can get, and I'm paraphrasing, the little piece of wood out of your neighbor's eye, get the beam out of yours. Right? Judgment begins right here, not out there somewhere. I need to be right with God. I need to pray. I need to forsake sin. I need to be righteous. I need to be faithful. I need to be where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. I need to have a godly demeanor and a godly appearance and all those things that I talk about. And folks, if we'll take care of ourselves, then we can help some other folks. Amen? And the best way I know to help them is to be an example. And sadly, time and time again, when you see people go astray, it's because they don't have good examples. He makes it very clear. This is something that begins right here. It is every man, individual choices, the things that you and I choose. I can say, God's going to judge that person that's not faithful to church. God's going to judge that person that walked away from him or that did this or did that. But the place to start is God's going to judge me. Amen? He really is. And you know what's interesting? Have you ever been to court? How many have been to court? I've been to court on several occasions. Sometimes, praise the Lord, just to be there to encourage somebody. a couple of times because I was going to be one of the people that was going to be accused. And with the church in Maryland, and I won't tell you those stories again, but you know, when you're in court and you look at the other people, that's interesting that they're being judged, but you're sitting there thinking, I'm next. Their case is one thing, and that's interesting, but my case is going to be heard. Amen? Folks, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account of the things done in this body. Every man's work will be tried. I know if you and I will start by focusing on being righteous and being right and holy, and we've all got a long way to go. Don't get proud. Don't get conceited. Don't get overly confident. Understand this. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. If in Christ we're righteous, I understand that. But if we will individually draw closer to the Lord, then we can help some other folks. Amen? And I was thinking today, in the Bible, how often did it seem like almost everybody had forsaken God? In Noah's day, I was reading today, it kind of shocked me. Some people believe there could have been a billion people on earth at the time of Noah's flood. I never thought it was that many. I thought maybe 600 million or whatever, but still, 8 people were saved out of the whole world. What about like Elijah? He said, Lord, they've digged down your altars. They've killed your prophets. I alone am left and they seek my life. And the Lord said to him, don't worry, I got it. I've got 12,000 people that haven't bowed their knee to Baal yet. The Lord Jesus Christ has had many people following him, and at one point in time, they all forsook him except for the 12. Paul the Apostle, when he was in Rome, no one stood with him when he was tried. Don't be surprised if the people around you walk away. If you keep your eyes on them, you're no better than Peter walking on the water and looking at the problems and sinking. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and you live for him, and then he'll show you how to help other people. Amen? That's the kind of church we need to be. That we cannot, you know, you can't render first aid to somebody when you're the one in need of medical assistance. You might do a little, but you need to be right, and then you can help other folks. And folks, I'm telling you, I've seen it this week, I've seen it last week. There are people, even in our midst, and they're walking away from God. And it breaks my heart. And I want to help them. And I can only do what God allows. But I think first, Lord, make me right. Amen? And then show me how to help those other folks. Let's all stand and pray.